At first, the schools were very suspicious of us. I remember getting an email from a head of school. It's a very fancy, exclusive school. And he said, "Hello, ladies. I've been reading your blog with interest. And I just want to say it's very compelling information."
This is the Motherbird Podcast. I'm Mia Sable-Hayes, and this season is all about Los Angeles school admissions. I'll be talking with guests from the preschool and primary school admissions worlds of one of the biggest, most diverse, and crazy competitive cities in the world. Whether you're touring schools while pregnant or rushing to catch up in time for the deadline, I want to help you get to know the people behind the programs you'll want to know about. Today, our guest is Christina Simon, author and editor of the Beyond the Brochure book and blog, which have been featured on NPR, The Hollywood Reporter, and many more publications of note. If you're the kind of mom that deep dive Googles the schools you're interested in, you have probably found yourself on her website, which, like the name suggests, is all about getting beyond the glossy presentation and catching some honest takes on the LA private school admissions experience from parent to parent, including personal stories about specific schools. Coming up, we'll get a little deeper with Christina and chat about her daring to start this blog, realizing she wanted to switch after her first year at what she thought would be her family's dream school, and her insider thoughts as a mom of color on evaluating a private school's diversity claims. Here we go.
So Beyond the Brochure, we started it in 2010, and it started after I went through the kindergarten admissions process for my daughter. And I'm originally from LA, born and raised, and I went through the LA public school system and went to Santa Monica High and then on to Berkeley and grad school at UCLA. So I've never been to private school. Like, I've never set foot in one as a student.
So that was a whole new thing, the admissions process.
Exactly. But I did not have a good experience in the public schools here. It was harrowing. And so I always knew that I wanted something different for my kids. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that we were going to apply to private school. Although I did look at our local public school and it was just too big. And we made the decision to apply when my daughter was in preschool. And I'm married. My husband Barry is from the suburbs of Philadelphia. So he went to really good suburban public schools, mm-hmm. and was, like many people are, taken aback at the private school situation here. The cost, the application process, the locations of the schools, they're not your neighborhood school. And so it took a little bit of convincing mm-hmm. to get him to go along with my plan. And yeah. Right. I mean, they're expensive. And I just kind of decided that even if we never took another vacation, I wanted my kids in private school. And, I feel very fortunate that we can afford it. But that was my decision. That was my plan. Like, sacrifices would be made when needed. And for a while, we did, that's exactly what we did. And currently I live in Coldwater Canyon, and so my daughter Ryan is a sophomore at Northwestern, and she's in the School of Journalism. So she is currently living in Evanston, Illinois, near campus. And my son Dylan is a junior at Viewpoint, and he's here. And we also live with Piper Spot, our rescue pit bull. So
nice.
Yeah.
So you said you did public school all the way through in LA, and then that experience really made you feel strongly that private school is going to be a better choice if you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
What were you looking for in private schools specifically?
Right. And I don't like to, there are some very, very good public schools. Let me just say that. And there are also, opportunities if you send your kid to public elementary school and then you decide to switch to private for secondary school. Those are options. My own personal experience, I was bullied really badly all throughout. And finally in eighth grade, I had to change schools mm-hmm. because it got so severe. So that was my own personal experience. And I just did not want that for my kids because it's soul destroying. And so I think my main goal was a smaller school size and smaller class size and teachers and staff who really knew my kids and who would see if something was wrong. And because in my own experience growing up, no one noticed anything.
It's just too busy. There's too much going on in the big schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. I went to public and private schools back and forth growing up. And then even in college, I did UCLA and then USC. And so I know what you mean. I've kind of seen the dichotomy of, you know, when you have big class sizes, you know, things just can get, things can fall through the cracks more. Even if there are lots of different opportunities, it really just kind of depends on the child and the situation.
Are you from LA?
No, I grew up in North Carolina. So I think like your husband, I went to, the public schools I went to were very different from LA public schools. They were much more resourced.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here, I've toured some of the LA public schools. And I mean, you just see, you know, everyone, great people trying really hard, but they are really, the budget situation is difficult here.
And, you know, as someone who's been a parent now in private school for many years, they're not perfect either. They have some, yeah, and we can talk about that, but they're not perfect. No school is perfect. So it depends on what your priorities as a parent are and what kind of kid you have.
When did you start writing the blog?
We started writing the blog in 2010.
And that was, where were you in your school process with your own family when that became your idea to do?
Okay. So my daughter went to Montessori Shir HaShirim, the preschool in Hollywood. And we knew after maybe her first year that we were going to apply to private school. So we applied to kindergarten in 2005, 2006. And as we were going through the process, I knew I wanted to write about it. I just knew that. And so I took a lot of notes, more notes than you would take as just, you know, a parent going through the process. I really documented things and committed things to memory. And I waited a few years because I wanted to have the experience of being a parent at a school also. And I also needed to find the right co-authors. And I did with my stepmom, Anne, and Portia Dotson.
So tell me a little bit more about your stepmom, Anne Simon, who co-authored the book with you. She was previously the head of Wildwood Elementary School and the former dean of the middle school at Crossroads School in Santa Monica, and has had a long career history in education.
Yeah, so my stepmom, Anne Simon, she's amazing. She's an amazing educator, mom, person, human being. And she's been my stepmom for a really long time. I would say since I was around 22, my mom died when I was a teenager. So Anne and I are extremely close. And we just started talking as I was going through the admissions process for Ryan. And then after about, I would say when Ryan was in second grade, I approached her and said, "Hey, I have this idea." And she was immediately interested. And we also pulled in Portia Dotson, who at the time was a teacher at Curtis School, which is up on Mulholland. And the three of us collaborated. And the book took the three of us a year to write.
I still think that's pretty fast. I mean, for all that you did, that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know.
Were you a writer before, or was this your first foray into writing?
I had a lot of writing experience from the jobs that I'd had. So I felt comfortable writing, and I felt comfortable writing nonfiction. And so, you know, we worked from an outline, and each one of us wrote different sections depending on, we kind of divided it up. And then but the whole book is written in my voice as the parent who is going through the admissions process. So that's how we did it.
I think that's what's really unique from my perspective about your site and your book and everything, is that it has that parent perspective instead of the drier resource guide style. You know, here's a school, these are the hours, and you have a little bit more of an an opinion, an editorial voice, yes. A sense of a real experience. And on your blog, you, even when you have other people who have written pieces for it, it's a real experience.
I'm glad you say that, because I wanted it to come across as approachable and friendly, and with, we all wanted the attitude of, you can do this. You can get your kid into private school. It will take some work, but it is doable because I've done it. And here's how I did it.
I think that's really encouraging, because, you know, it's not helpful when people are, I guess, when they aren't upfront about how complicated it is, or if they like deny that it's difficult at all. But I feel like you guys, what you've written, you would acknowledge that there is a challenge here and that it is doable, but both things are true.
Yes. And, you know, what started to happen was at preschool, you hear other parents talking, and some of them are very honest about that it's a grueling process and it's overwhelming, and others are very slick.
And yes.
They're more like, you know, it was pretty easy, actually. You know, he got into three schools, no problem. I mean, we didn't know anyone, and we just kind of winged it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of that kind of posturing going on. And generally behind those words, they're leaving out some stuff, you know.
Yeah, there's a little more information.
They're leaving out that they had a major connection at the school, or they're leaving out that they went
to a legacy.
They're a legacy. They're leaving out something, because the majority of people who apply to schools in Los Angeles, that's not their experience. They don't just wing it and get in. You know, they have to roll up their sleeves, take it seriously, apply to enough schools, and really go through the process with the intent of sort of playing by the rules, so to speak.
My next question I have is just about how you navigate, I guess, between getting information that stays, you know, friendly enough with the schools, and then also being honest, like where you find that line to be, and where it's important, or where it's come up in your total truth of experience, and how far do you have to kind of play nice?
So my perspective on this is, as a parent applying to schools, you are on their turf and you really have to play by their rules. And the parents on the tours, when you go on tours and you see parents asking questions that are very blunt or obnoxious or rude, they're not getting in. They may feel that the question about, well, why is this school worth $35,000 a year, is a good question in front of an entire auditorium to the head of school. And that's not the kind of question that's going to get you in. So you have to be very careful. These schools are proud of, you know, their curriculum, their campus, everything that they're doing. And they want parents who are going to be happy when they get in. And if someone is on the tour already questioning the cost of it, that's a huge red flag to them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, it's sort of a two-way vetting process in that way. And if they can see that you might cause trouble, then it might be in their interest to look at their options, I guess.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's not to say don't ask questions. Just frame them carefully and try to frame them in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask about teachers. You can ask questions, for sure. It's just, if they appear hostile or rude, that's when the schools are very, very alarmed. Because what they know is when that person gets there, it's going to be even worse.
So then, speaking of, I guess, all the different things that parents say, there are review sites like Great Schools and niche, and they are full of, it's like the Yelp of parent reviews on schools. And some don't have much, but some of them you can read through and it's like, whoa, there's the 5-star reviews and the 1-star reviews on a school. How much credit do you think parents should give to that? Or what do you think about those reviews?
I think that those sites are a good starting place to look at basic, you know, names of schools, schools in your geographic area, how big is the school, you know, basic stats about the school. The reviews are biased, they're anonymous. And so I would never base a decision based on anonymous reviews. I don't think that Yelp reviews are always credible. And so I certainly wouldn't make a decision about my kids' education based on those reviews. Because what you tend to get is parents who are very unhappy or parents who are seemingly very happy. But sometimes it's, you know, an angry set of parents trying to blow up something at a school over an issue. Or it's a school saying, hey, we need some help. We're getting hit over on, you know, niche. Just a quick cursory review of them. I saw something written about one school that's absolutely not true. You know, so just you take them with a grain of salt.
So then what do you suggest? I guess what would be your first step for a parent looking to learn the real scoop on the school they're considering?
Well, if you can talk to other parents that you trust, that's a great starting point. I'm a huge fan of the preschool director as a resource, because the preschool directors, if you're at a preschool where they send kids to private school every year, they're very knowledgeable and usually more than happy to share information. And the other, I think, sort of overlooked resource is your preschool's alumni, parents who had kids at your preschool and who are now at a certain private school. And that's something that I used. There were a couple of moms who I talked to who had been at our preschool and who were, you know, now had kids in like first or second grade. And I just, you know, I got their number and called them and they were super helpful.
So would you say that's because, like at your preschool, there's already a sense of like, those are your values of what feels good, or whether it's the community or the type of education. And so those resources might be able to help you transition to something that feels similar?
Yeah, absolutely. They know the preschool. They know the families that go there. You know, they may want to do it as a favor to the preschool director. So I think that that's always a good resource.
What are the main questions you think parents should be asking to the schools that often they might be leaving out? I go to a lot of these now, it's on Zoom, but before I used to go to the tours a lot too, and hear a lot of the same questions over and over. And it makes me wonder, you know, are we missing something that we really should be asking, that once you're on the inside, you would know that that's what you should have asked about?
That's such a good question. I think, like, when I was on the tours, and maybe you're hearing this too, I heard a lot of really basic questions that you could, that parents could have found on the website, right? How big are your classes? Sort of like, how long is the school day? Just basic questions, right? So that tells them that that you haven't done your homework. Like, you haven't been to their website. If you're asking those really basic questions that are on, or like, do you have a high school? Well, they should know whether there's a high school.
They should know.
But I think to really try to get a sense of the school and to figure out whether, if your kid got in there, your kid would be happy and you would be happy. One thing that seems to be overlooked is, what type of school is it that you're looking at? So, and you can ask, it's okay. This is a really good question to ask. Well, what type of school is this? Is it a progressive school? Is it a traditional school? If it's a religious school, how religious is it? You know, because sometimes, more times than should happen, parents end up getting to a school And they don't realize, for example, how traditional it is. And by that, I mean competitive academics, school uniforms, homework, you know, a focus on acquiring skills and testing, right? So they get there and they don't want that, but they've been through the entire admissions process and somehow missed that it was a traditional school in every way, in every way. And so if you can figure that out, and those are good questions to ask, what type of school is this? You know, ask about the curriculum and with an eye towards, is it traditional? Is it progressive? What type of school it is?
And even defining progressive, I've heard in a couple of the Zooms I've been in lately with the schools, a couple of them have defined what they mean by progressive. And that's really interesting, too, that, you know, some of them mean that in a more social way and others mean that in like a more purely how they do their curriculum way. And
right.
Those are, you know, slightly different paths in terms of what you might be thinking you're getting or expecting out of the school.
Yeah. So the idea behind a progressive school is, and there are a lot of them in Los Angeles, and basically the underlying notion is that kids learn at different speeds. So not everyone is going to be reading by the end of kindergarten. And that's perfectly mm-hmm. okay. It's expected. It's celebrated. It's fine. And whereas in a traditional school, you might have a narrow window where everyone needs to be reading. And so yeah. in a progressive school, there's going to be a lot less homework. There's going to be group projects. There's going to be project-based learning. So those are things that if those appeal to you as a parent and you think those would be good for your kid, then apply to those schools, but understand what it is. Because again, I've seen my kids have been at a very progressive school and a very traditional school. And in both instances, I've seen families where somehow they didn't understand the kind of school it was. And they get there and they're not happy. Their kid may or may not be happy, mm-hmm. but like in a progressive school, they want to see homework in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Well, it's not coming. There is no homework.
Yeah.
Because that's not the philosophy of
no grades or, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to, you've written about deciding to switch schools. So would you talk a little bit about that? Like, what was that like? Like realizing that that's what you wanted to do, making that decision. What was that like?
So my kids were at a DK, which is developmental kindergarten through eighth grade school in Culver City. And when my daughter got to sixth grade, she wanted to change schools. She had been there since kindergarten. It was time. And so the difference is when you're applying for a kindergartner, they may have an opinion, but it's you're really the person making the decision. When you're applying for a middle or high schooler, they have their own opinions about which school they want to apply to. And yeah. they, you know, you have to deal with that. And the admissions process is more weighted towards the kid because they have test scores, grades, teacher recommendations, extracurricular activities, interests, right. all of that. And like with Ryan, she visited one school where I dropped her off for visiting day and was supposed to come back. This is for applying for seventh grade, was supposed to come back at like, I don't know, in like 3 hours. And I picked her up and she got in the car and burst into tears. And I was like, what happened? And she said, they didn't have any chairs for me to sit in. So I had to stand up. And in the classrooms where, you know, that she was going, you go from class to class. And she was so upset. She, you know, she's a middle school girl. And I thought, how did nobody get her a chair? Like no
yeah.
one, you know.
That's such a small thing, but obviously, you know, it meant something.
Yeah.
You know, to her. And you would think that would be noticed.
Well, no one noticed. So we ended up not applying to that school. Then we went to another school and she loved it. And I didn't like it. And I said, well, what did you like about it? She said, well, my friend so-and-so was on the tour. And so you get a lot of that.
Their friends. Yeah.
Yes. And she had a great tour because her friend was there and she felt comfortable. She loved it, but I didn't like the school. So you quickly have to deal with that. But ultimately, we ended up at Viewpoint and have just been super happy there. And I would have to say that one mistake I made was choosing a progressive school when really Barry and I as parents are much better suited to a traditional school and the culture of a traditional school. The progressive school was fine for my kids. It was not great for me as a parent. But when the time came to change schools, we knew that was the thing to do.
How do you think parents could, I don't know if you'd have advice on this, but how do you think parents could better assess what type of parents they are in terms of what school aligns with themselves, what their family vibe is or whatever?
So for me, it was really important to have a sense of community at a school, you know, similar to what we had had at preschool. And I was just not seeing it. I had this sinking feeling that, oh my goodness, like this does not feel like a community school. And it was the way I think the parents acted. And I found, I sort of knew intuitively that we should leave after kindergarten, but we didn't. We stayed.
You felt like it was just more like standoffish or that they just weren't as involved?
It was standoffish. It was, a lot of them knew each other from preschools, a big entertainment industry, group of parents who aren't interested in talking to anybody else who's not in the industry or who they don't already know. And so the reason this mattered was because when you send them an email that your kid is having a birthday party, they're not going to respond. So it quickly becomes a difficult situation because there isn't that sense of community. And there is a cliquishness, a snobbery. And I felt very much like an outsider at that school.
Yeah, that's interesting. These are things that it's hard to weigh in with everything because obviously you're looking for the best fit for your child. But again, you know, you can't ignore the experience of the parent who, especially in the younger years, you're in many ways the head of helping build that community for your child when you're the one that's driving them around and doing all of that. You know, when they're older, they're making their own friends, finding their own paths to things. But early on, I think that, you know, there's a lot of parent involvement that matters.
Exactly. And so it was difficult to connect with other parents in Ryan's grade. Dylan's grade was a little bit better. And some of this is just the luck of the draw, who ends up in your kid's grade. But, you know, some schools have like a well-known culture, like snobby, friendly, quirky, low-key. And when you talk to other parents, you can find that out. Or when you're touring the school and when you're going through the admissions process, you know, if the head of school sounds like a jerk, they are. They are. And that matters. If, you know, parents are giving you a tour, and this happened to me at one school, and they're not even looking at you. They're too busy looking over your shoulder to see who else is on the tour. That's not a great sign. Because you're going to have to email that same parent and try to get an answer about your kid's birthday party or about a play date. And they're probably not going to respond.
I mean, definitely this is, you know, file under LA problems, but that's part of why, I mean, I think, you know, you've written specifically for LA and I'm making this specifically for LA, but we have a unique set of circumstances here, such as a huge celebrity presence, some of the wealthiest people in the world, a lot of that which, you know, inherently comes into play with the admissions process.
Yeah. And so, you know,
if you're not one of these people.
Right, exactly. And assuming that, you know, most people listening to this are not billionaires, we certainly are not. But I think that all you need is a small group of, you know, sort of your people at a school. But if you can't find those, it makes it really hard.
Yeah, I think that's so important and something that we're all hoping works out. You hope you make the right choice in all of this. And right now we're doing so many tours on Zoom, it's even a little more mysterious. But I'm finding that conversations with parents are very revealing. You know, what you can understand from either their experience or just how they are.
Right, how they are. And, you know, do they have friends at the school? Does their kid have friends? You know, do they feel that when they have a complaint or an issue, the school, you know, pays attention and takes it seriously and is not just taking seriously the, you know, complaints and concerns of the very wealthy, which can be a big issue at these schools. Again, LA problems, but this is a fact of life at these schools.
It's time to take a quick break to thank you for checking out the Motherbird podcast. As some of you may know, prior to the pandemic, Motherbird was about real moms getting together in real life without the littles for just a moment to relax and discover great new things in the city together. One day we'll see you out on the town again. But for now, in the spirit of that crucial word of mouth that only your best mom crew can deliver, we started this project, compiling interviews with local LA schools to help you check off one of the top things on your to-do list. So we want to hear from you on which schools or related guests you want to hear from. If you know someone who should be a guest and can make the introduction, let us know. You can email me at mia@motherbirdla.com or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at MotherbirdLA. So another thing I wanted to ask you about, you've written about raising multiracial children. The schools are kind of across the scale with how they have been with diversity and equity and inclusion. Certainly this summer, there's been a big ramping up of efforts across the board. Some may be more reactive, some may be more authentic. How do you think a parent can get a sense of where their heart really is with this and I guess what to expect?
Well, this whole diversity, equity, and inclusion planning on the part of LA independent and private schools came about primarily because of two things: the Instagram accounts, Black At, and then the school name. And these accounts detailing microaggressions and racism by current and former students. And there are several of them out there, and I've read through them, and they are heartbreaking. And then also because of the, you know, George Floyd murder, Breonna Taylor, and the protests that have taken place over, you know, a lot of 2020. And so schools felt enormous pressure to do something. And so they have created these plans, and it remains to be seen whether a school puts the full force of the institution behind a plan that they've written and makes real change in, you know, diverse hiring, retention, you know, training, all sorts of things that are in the plan to address issues ranging from just a lack of diversity to hardcore racist incidents, right? So you have that range. And I know in my heart already, I know certain schools will not make any substantive change. They are way too wedded to their current culture. And will they throw up a plan on their website? Of course they will. And the other thing that I will say is, so as schools are developing these plans for diversity, equity, and inclusion, they are meeting fierce resistance from parents at the school who do not want Black Lives Matter talked about at school. They do not want school assemblies where white privilege is discussed. These are all actual real examples at different schools. And so the schools are going to, and some of these parents are the powerful, wealthy donors, and schools are going to have to contend with that.
From my side, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm looking at kindergartens right now, looking at all these websites, and it's like everybody says something on the front page of their website now, but I know that that's not all equal. And so you're really trying to like look at each school and say, well, what's the question I need to ask? Or what's the thing I could ask a parent that would really help me get some insight into what to expect, whether, you know, like you said, am I going to go to this school and then learn that that was the show for the summer and now they're moving on, or whether you're going to go to a school and find out, oh, they've hired all these new people and they're really changing direction and what you have heard about before is not where they're going now.
And also too, you know, and I've said this before on the blog, but if you tour a school, and it's hard right now on Zoom because parents are not really seeing the campus or many of the students, or just maybe seeing a snippet, but if you go to a school and you don't see diverse faculty and you don't see diverse students, they're not going to magically appear. They're just not there. And that means that the school does not have a commitment to diversity.
Right. Yeah, and they're going to be lacking that perspective for sure.
Right. And there, you know, there's one school where it's always like they have, you know, the joke is they have, you know, one Black kid. And how sad is that? But it's the truth. As a Black mom, I have dealt with microaggressions from other parents. I have dealt with two situations of overt racism, one of which was serious enough where Barry and I had to go to the head of the school. And, you know, so I've been there. I've dealt with this.
That's hard. I'm sorry you had to deal with that at your prior school.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's something that we're paying attention to, too. I mean, just from my own experience being a mixed kid, I went to a school that was probably 90% white. And so I can relate to that experience and seeing that. And I think about, you know, what it will be like. In some ways, I feel like a lot of the schools are maybe more open to more diverse communities now than they were before. But it's still one of those things where you wonder what do they really mean and what's the real intention and how will it really feel?
Right. And, you know, it's challenging because there are, you know, diverse families who are wealthy. That's one category. But there are some who need financial aid. And even a few million dollars in financial aid, when you're talking about tuition, field trips, et cetera, doesn't really stretch that far. And so right now, when the economy goes bad, and we're in an unprecedented pandemic right now, which is just difficult in so many ways for so many people. But what happens at these schools is the first priority becomes retaining current families who've lost jobs or had financial hardship. So financial aid money tends to go to them. So anyone applying may find that there's just less financial aid, no matter how much the school wants to fund them. There's these other priorities, which are, you know, gosh, if we don't help these families who've, you know, lost their restaurant, lost their job, we're going to lose them. And we don't want that to happen. Or we're going to lose one of their kids and the other one can stay because that's what they can afford. And they don't want that. And our school Viewpoint just did, you know, a major fundraising effort for financial aid so that to try to prevent that.
Yeah, it's definitely something to expect that there will be a big call on whatever funds that the schools have coming up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the last few things I wanted to ask you about was just, so you have a Facebook page I mentioned, and you post every once in a while sort of the local news that comes up about different schools. I've seen, you know, the various scandals that have appeared. Like obviously the big college scandal that happened. You posted an article about that and things that have happened with various independent schools. So why do you think LA private schools are always making the news?
I think the main reason is from the outside, they seem very exclusive. They, you know, there's wealth, there's privilege, there's celebrity, and those are elements that make for a good story. And there's scandal, right? The college admissions scandal. And so those things combined make for a very like juicy, compelling story. And I think I've probably talked to the Hollywood Reporter more than any other news organization about private schools, because they're on it.
That's another reason why I think having real parent insights like you have provided are really helpful, because you are going up against everything from splashy news articles to reviews on great schools to, you know, it's head spinning how many different takes there are on a school, especially here in LA.
Yes. And I think certain schools get a lot of attention based on, a lot of it is driven by celebrities who go there. And right. And so if you were applying there, you really want to talk to some current parents there, your preschool director, to try to figure out if you would be happy there.
Right. So as I mentioned, your blog has also contributing writers from different LA parents. And I was wondering if there's anyone that you're looking to connect with, just to put it out there, if there's any certain schools or types of parents that you're hoping to maybe have reach out to you about participating with what you're doing.
Well, it's so interesting that you asked that, because when we first started Beyond the Brochure, the book and the blog came out in 2010. And the third edition of the book came out in 2017. And so we've been doing this now for a decade. And at first, the schools were very suspicious of us and very wary of us. But the schools were never our target audience. Parents were. Parents who were interested in applying to private schools. That was who we were focused on. So we never really cared what the schools thought. And I remember getting an email from a head of school. This is probably like our second year. And it's a very fancy, exclusive school. And it's not a school I have any connection to. And he said, "Hello, ladies. I've been reading your blog with interest. And I just want to say it's very compelling information." And that was the general tone of the email. And I think I had written something about the school. And basically what he was saying was, "I'm watching you. Like, you have some nerve writing anything about my school." Because when you go to the school's website, especially back then, there was nothing to find, like literally nothing. And he did not like that someone had decided to write something about his school. But over the years, what happened was schools decided that we really weren't a threat to them, and that we really wanted to provide, you know, the most accurate, the best information for parents. And so they started reaching out to us saying, "Would you come write about the school? Would you come tour the school? Would you come, you know, interview the head of school?" And we've done that, but only for schools that we believe in, that we like, that we respect. There's been a bunch of schools that we'll never write about. And that's not to say that all of the schools like us. They don't. There's one school in particular that just will not stop bad-mouthing us. Every year, this head of school says something nasty about us. And, you know, that's fine. But so I think the schools, it's shifted a bit, but our main focus is still the parents. And in terms of someone I would love to connect with, I would say Colette Bauer-Zinn. And she started Private School Access, I think, pretty recently, like maybe in the past year or two. And she helps families of color navigate the admissions process. And I would love to connect with her.
Okay, well, we'll put that out there and hopefully you will be connecting with her. You never know. I always say just, you know, put it out there who you're looking to meet or, you know, what you want to know more about. And the more people who know that, the more opportunities there are to connect within this network of moms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of what we do with Beyond the Brochure, and I think what you do, is word of mouth among parents and among moms.
Well, I think, you know, as I think both agree on this, it's very powerful and it's very important. And it's something that parents need to make these decisions. We don't have all the time in the world. We're running on no sleep. We have to get these things done. And we have to get it right because the stakes are so high with our children.
And I never want, you know, and my co-author, my stepmom, we never want a parent to feel like they are reinventing the wheel alone out there when it comes to school admissions. We think that that is so unfair because there is information out there and there are parents who are in the know who have that information and you are disadvantaged if you don't have the same or similar information. And so we're just all about, you know, if someone buys a copy of our book, Beyond the Brochure, An Insider's Guide to Private Elementary Schools in LA, we want them to give it to a friend who gives it to another friend. And we want it to be marked up and tattered and beat up and used because, you know, that's what information sharing and community is all about.
Absolutely. So if you could go back and magically advise your younger self, if you were starting all over where I am now with a 4-year-old, what's the one piece of advice you would have given yourself knowing what you know now about school admissions?
I think there's two things. I think that I would have, for kindergarten, applied to more schools. We applied to 4 schools, and I write about this in the book. We had to withdraw an application from one school after a really disastrous parent interview. So that left us with 3 schools, which wasn't enough. We should have applied to more schools to give ourselves more breathing room and less stress. And fortunately, Ryan got into all 3, but it was, you know, we should have applied to more. And the second thing is, if your intuition is telling you something strongly about the school where you are or where you're applying, don't ignore it. And I think that we should have left after the first year. And we didn't. We stayed. And, you know, 2 moms who I really liked both left the school because they didn't like the culture of the school. And I should have left also.
So stick with your gut. I think that is a mom lesson that comes back for us over and over from the time the kids are born. You learn, you gotta just listen to yourself.
You have to, even if it seems daunting to change schools or it seems counterintuitive not to apply to a school where everyone is telling you you should apply. Mm-hmm. If your intuition tells you one thing, follow your intuition. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Christina. If moms want to read up on your blog, they can find it at beyondthebrochurela.com. And on there, you can find the links to your book, which is also on Amazon, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we like to make it easy. It's on Amazon.
It's
you can find
Amazon.
It there. anything else that we should mention?
Well, I would also just say that my email is csimon2007@gmail.com. And parents email me all the time. I respond to every email. Sometimes they have questions or they're just worried and it's 2 a.m. and they shoot off an email. And I respond to them. I love getting emails from readers.
Great. Well, thank you for caring for all of us parents on this journey, and thank you for everything you've built over the last decade, and can't wait to see it keep growing into the awesome resource that it is.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great chatting with you.
I hope you all enjoyed our talk with Christina Simon from Beyond the Brochure. It's hard to put yourself out there authentically, and I think I can speak for all of us in saying how much gratitude there is for those like Christina who do. If you'd like to reach out to her, you can find her contact info and links at motherbirdla.com/show notes. That's S-H-O-W-N-O-T-E-S. Show notes. And if you know the mom who needs to hear Christina's story, please be a good mom friend and forward this episode to her right now. Lastly, if this podcast is helpful to you and you want to hear more, like, subscribe, and review it. Every little bit helps take us further towards getting the guests you want to know that you're right here listening to the Motherbird Podcast.